A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. This is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor who brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, and welcome to the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Anytime we pray the 103rd Psalm, I always get a little chuckle, because I remember my boys, when they were smaller, they would say, "The Lord is kind of merciful." Not kind and merciful, kind of. So I don't know if they were thinking about their earthly father, because it's definitely not their heavenly father, but it always brings a little joy to my heart when I hear that. It's a beautiful time of year now in Phoenix. I went on a run this morning. The evenings are beautiful. The mornings are great. And we're about to be at the time of year of why we live here. So it's a very joyful time for us now. But I would be remiss to say that it's also been a tough time in our diocese this past week, in where we lost a beloved priest and a parish lost a pastor, Father Pete Rossa, and our medical community lost two Catholic giants within the last week, two mentors of mine. Yesterday we celebrated the funeral of Dr. Earl Baker, and then this Thursday a very good friend of mine, Dr. Sal DeFrancesco, passed. So I remember to keep the diocese, the priest, the families, and everyone in the Church of Phoenix. It's a great loss. We are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Matthew today. Last week, we heard the parable where we had the issue of fraternal correction that was being addressed. Not a very popular subject. How do we correct each other when things are wrong? But we saw the importance of doing that, especially if it's done in charity and love, because that really allows for movement of the heart. And today we hear all throughout the readings the theme of forgiveness. Forgiveness. The word forgiveness is actually derived from the Latin perdonare, which means to give up, to release, to let everything go. So vengeance, punishment, that's what that means. But just look back on a day of how many times you use that word, either, "I'm sorry," excuse me, please forgive me. It's such an overused word now in our culture, almost to the point that it's lost its meaning. It's just like when you tell someone, hi, how are you? And you really don't want to know, and you just keep on walking, but it just comes out. But if we understood the meaning of what that word forgiveness means and the implications that that should have in our lives, we would be deeply, deeply changed. How many of us as children, or those of us that have children, we always tell our kids, say you're sorry for something you did. Or those of us that are married, if you're in a heated marital discussion, especially us men, I know, saying I'm sorry is a quick way out. You may not even mean it, but it'll end that conversation and you can move on. But what is the meaning? What does that word? The issue of forgiveness is the centrality of the gospel message. Let's break open this parable and see what happened in the gospel. The Lord, the King, depending on which translation, both of those words are used, slave, servant. So that slave servant owed his king, his master, an exorbitant amount of money. Some of the gospel writers say up to 3,000 years' wages, to put that in perspective. That's what he owed. And he recognized who the king was. But what did he ask of the king? He asked for more time to pay back the debt. But what did the king do? The king erased it, said, your debt is gone. He gave him an extraordinary gift beyond even what he had asked for. But what happened? The servant didn't recognize what he had been given. He had been given much more than he had even asked for. And we knew he recognized who the king and lord was, one, by his posture. He paid him homage, the gospel tells us. He asked him for something. So he knew the power that the king and the lord had over him. But he didn't accept the gift. He wasn't content. He wasn't happy. And how do we know that? Because as soon as he left, we see how he treated his brother. His debt, 3,000 years' wages, was forgiven. And then he went after a fellow servant, owed him maybe 3 weeks, 3 months, no comparison, and showed him no compassion. So the question is, why could that servant not accept this radical gift that had been given to him, this forgiveness of his debt? That's the question this morning. And I'd venture to say that we could all have reasons, but I want to look at the issue of pride and arrogance. That's why he couldn't accept. He didn't want to seem as welfare just to get some. He wanted to pay it back. It was about him and what he wanted, not what was trying to be given to him. Pride has been described to some as the mother of all sins. Why is that? Because it inflates ourselves, it inflates our own ego. It's a false sense of importance. It's a theology, a philosophy of I. I can do this, I do this. It's my this, it's my that. But what is the opposite of pride? Humility. Not a self-deprecating humility that, oh, poor me, or these, you know, you flogging yourself into it. No, not that. But an emptying of oneself, an emptying of the heart, leaving room for God to work in our inner heart and change us at our very, very selves. We hear in the first reading, the book of Sirach, where the sinner says, where the reading says that the sinner holds on to vengeance and hate. He holds that so tightly in its heart. God can penetrate anything he wants, but remember, our God doesn't force himself upon us. We have to say yes. We have to cooperate. He's always there for us. We shut him out. Our sense of ego closes that heart and doesn't allow him to come in and to penetrate there. Think of situations in our own lives where we've either hurt someone or have been hurt by someone else. It's painful. We don't forget that pain. But forgiveness does not entail forgetting. Forgiveness entails emptying yourselves from the heart, allowing God to come in and work. And God is the one that gives us that grace and gift to do that. On our own, we can't do it. But me, even more important than forgiving others, I think we ourselves sometimes are our most harmful critics. We're hard on ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves for our wrongdoings. Think of those sins that you have that you're so embarrassed and so ashamed of. You're even ashamed to tell the priest in the confessional of something you've done. We belittle ourselves. That is not of God. That is of the evil one. God wants to take that from us. He wants us to bring it to the foot of the cross. Look at our King. Are those arms of condemnation or arms of welcoming and love and compassion and mercy just flowing from his side? We see in the image here of divine mercy. That is the life we're called to live. This past month, I had an experience that was very, very difficult for me. I've delivered close to 10,000 babies in 20 years. And this past month, I experienced a first maternal death of one of my patients that I knew for over 10 years, that I delivered all four of her children. She died of an amniotic fluid embolism, which is, you can't predict, has an 80 to 90% mortality rate. And to see that going on, and to see so helpless, is difficult, especially as a physician that deals so much with life. When faced with issues of death, it's very, very difficult. And then things start to go through your own mind, the pride, the arrogance, like, why is this happening? We've done everything. We have everything available humanly to save this woman. We've done everything. What else? Why is this happening? It's not till I let go my guard and go before how Lord, how God used to look at us before them all, naked without shame, fully there to the Lord, to let his mercy cover me and get those thoughts in my mind, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. Maybe I've done enough. That I realize that God speaks to me in the very central of his heart that it's not about you. It's about him and his ultimate power. That's what we're called to do. That's the life of freedom and mercy we're called to share with one another. And I truly say that until you have received mercy, until you have been bathed in that fountain of God's love and mercy, you can't give it away because you don't know yourself what it is. Bishop Olmsted this past Thursday night in the event where he announced his state of the new process of evangelization for the diocese. He said a quote that night that really touched me. He said, what is given, what is received as a gift, should be given as a gift. All of us, all of creation, has been given a beautiful gift, the gift of our of God's beloved Son, risen from the dead. That is called to transform us. Many of us here are just like that servant. We've been given this great gift. And especially those here in the church, we acknowledge who God is because we're here. We pay him homage. We do the right postures. But have we really asked him to unleash his love and mercy on ourselves, on our families, on the church? That's what we need to do. And we need to learn to forgive ourselves for things we've done. And most importantly, we have the beautiful gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, where there we could take what's in the darkest corners of our hearts and present them to God through the priest. The priest is not forgiving our sins. It's the ministry of Christ through the priest, through his words and actions, but it's Christ who is forgiving our sins. When we are able to take that, then we will really be changed. Then we will have metanoia. We will have that change of heart and be filled with so much joy that we can truly forgive our brother for whatever's done, as the gospel says, from the very depths of our heart. I want to leave you with a quote of our Lord speaking to Saint Faustina from her diary on Divine Mercy. Then I heard these words: I am glad you behave like my true daughter. Be always merciful as I am merciful. Love everyone out of love for me, even your greatest enemies, so that my mercy may be fully reflected in your heart.